thing I had a lid on that. Dropped it down. Great job. Have some great songs this morning or this evening. I'm such a creature of habit. I love that music. And it goes right along with where we are in our text today. So I ask you to turn your Bible on your phone, whatever device you may be following along on, to Ephesians 5, verse 19. Just going to look at three verses this morning. Ephesians 5, 19 through 21. But before we go there, I want to back up to the text that I shared last Sunday. Let me just read that. It's not on the screen. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, and this last phrase, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I just want to think that Paul got right there late one evening, laid his pen down, and said, it's time for bed. Went into that jail cell, whatever it may have looked like. They say they're dark and damp and laid down and didn't dwell on his circumstances, didn't wish to be released. And you're going to see that in the weeks to come, Paul's prayer and his attitude about his situation. And like he was with the Philippian jailer, him and Silas, a song came into his heart. I don't guess it was I'll Fly Away, because he didn't have it then. It could have been the same song that him Silas sung in jail. If it was I'll Fly Away, I'm sure he's laying there just a few more dreary days than then. And then morning came. I think Paul got up that morning, as the song says, feeling fine. Feeling good. Rejoicing in the Lord. Because the night before, he had just penned, but be filled with the Spirit. And I think sometime during the night, and that's all hypothetical, the Lord impressed upon him what a Spirit-filled life look like. And that's what he's going to share with us. Verse 18 that I finished with of last week and through verse 21 is one sentence, one thought. So always be careful when you're studying the Bible. Make sure at least you put the sentence together. Don't just pull a phrase out of a sentence. The sentence may be a chapter long, but make sure you got the whole sentence. Because this is all one thought. Warren Wiersbe said, the marks of a Spirit-filled Christian are not unusual emotional experiences or miracles or tongues, but rather Christian character. The Spirit-filled life is something we can all experience and enjoy. It's not just for a few, but for all. Paul lays out here a beautiful picture of the Spirit-filled life. He lists three things that a person has that has a Spirit-filled life. First of all, they have a melodious heart. There's a song in their heart. They have a thankful heart, and they have a humble heart. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this old warrior, Paul, who just in that jail cell, just pouring his heart out. Let not his circumstances, his situation hinder him at all. He still has a song in his heart. He's still thankful for the churches that are growing and multiplying, that are united, and he's still humbly serving wherever God has placed him. God, let that be an example for all of us here today. Lord, I pray you speak to hearts today, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the first one. A spirit-filled person will have a melodious heart. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, music does two things, we're told there in that text. It ministers to each other, to one another. How many times after a song have you said, that song really ministered to me? I can't tell you what that song meant to me, how it helped me. I heard it on the radio, and I just pulled over and cried because it met me right where my need was. It spoke to my situation, met you right where you were. You praise God and the singers for the song. You thank God for the writer. You know, and typically a great song comes from the singer or writer's experience. Think about the song, I Can Only Imagine. When you see the movie, it comes right from the writer and the singer's heart, his own situation, when he thought about his childhood and how God saved his evil dad and made him a godly man. And he said, I can only imagine what it'll be like. Music does something else, the text tells us. It ministers to your own heart. You know, you may not be able to sing a lick. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but you can make melody in your heart. And thanks, y'all should give thanks. That's what I do. I don't sing out loud. Never seen someone singing that wasn't happy. Kitty is singing and whistling all the time. Today I thought, I asked her, is that a siren down the road? It's her whistling. But I've never seen anyone singing that wasn't happy. That should tell us something. It also tells us that Christian music is not alone in the heart. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice when Paul penned Colossians, he added the word of Christ to a song. Meaning the greatest songs are straight out of Scripture. Back then, basically, they sung the Psalms. That was their music. It was the Word of God, and they put it to music and sung it to one another. Probably that's what Paul was doing. Singing seems to keep a heart from becoming hard. Listen to Psalm 95, and you'll understand if the Israelites had kept singing, they might not have found themselves in the situation that they did. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Notice how it turns here. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. They should have kept singing. They should have kept a song in their heart. And I would encourage us when times get hard and our heart seems to get hard and we lose our compassion, start singing. Music played a huge part in the early church. I'm just going to share one verse, but there are many. James 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. See, there's a place for both in the church. Praying and singing. And I think you got to have a balance there. You bring your petitions, then you praise him through your songs. As I mentioned before, Paul understood the power of song. In Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were wrongfully thrown in jail, beaten and thrown in jail, and the jailer said, "You keep them up there. We're going to do something with them guys tomorrow." It says, "Who having received such a charge, the jailer thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now again, get the picture here. It's dark there. He led them down to the inner prison, damp, cold, had a torch in his hand, put their feet in stocks, and there they sit. The clothes wet, hurting from the beating they'd just taken. Sat there a few hours, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I want you to notice here, they're gathered, what I just said, and sang praises unto God. Notice this last phrase, and the prisoners heard. The prisoners heard. And so did the jailer. Because when the jailer hears the commotion, he comes running in thinking they're all gone because they hear the chains come unlatched. And Paul could tell him, "We are all here. Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners." Because they've heard something. Not their shackles fall off. They've heard people praising God. And maybe they're encouraged in their situation to sing. I just want to think that Paul, when the shackles come off, stood up and said, "Okay, guys, you can sing this song. Let's go." And it got the jailer up out of sleep. And it did something to the jailer. It says he came in trembling, fell down. And, "Brothers, what can I do to be saved?" Implying there were others being saved. That's what music does. You know, in our text, we talked about getting drunk. Instead of getting drunk, Paul and Silas sang songs. Now, probably a drink would have helped their relieve their pain a little bit, but that would have been temporary. What Paul and Silas had was eternal. And you can't keep that in. Singing seemed to set the stage for sharing the gospel, just like in church today. Because you see, I always found this fascinating. The last thing that Jesus shared with all his disciples was a song. Look at Mark 14:26. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." That's it. The last thing that Jesus and all his disciples shared together was a song. It tells me there's power in a song. Guys, this is what you need to remember tonight. This is going to be a terrible night. But you keep that song in your heart. It'll pay benefits in the days ahead. And singing doesn't stop with the songs down here. They'll be singing in heaven. The Bible tells in Revelation 5:9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Everybody needs a type of music to enjoy. I don't care who you are. Now just think about these people from everywhere. They're not all from a southern gospel state. They're not all from a contemporary music state. They're not all from a bluegrass gospel state. They're not all from traditional hymns. But yet they're around the throne singing together. If it's in heaven, it's in tune, it's beautiful. We all need some type of music joy. That's why I love the variety of music here. You know, I tell people, you're just coming up Sundays, you'll hear something you like. We got so much talent here, so much variety here. The Bible says in Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. With my song will I praise him." All of you involved in music here at the church, let me thank you for helping us praise him. To come out on a Saturday evening to get this ready so we'll have a service tomorrow if it snows. And to always get us ready for worship. To always get us ready to hear the preaching of the gospel. Thank you. Secondly, a spirit-filled person, Paul says, will have a thankful heart. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think Paul that morning, again, I'm just hypothetical. I think he was very concise when he penned verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things. He didn't want to leave anything out. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. One thing Dr. Lawless told a group of us pastors who was just encouraging us during this pandemic is, guys, constantly give thanks. Find something to be thankful for. Every day, every situation, find something to be thankful for. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that we give thanks. Notice in our text, there's no limit on the time or the extent. Always for all things. Dr. Lawless said, and Paul tells us here in the text, even during a pandemic, find something to be thankful for. Giving thanks is just like praying. Paul says we do it in the name of Jesus. I think he's very concise there. Because if we do it in the name of Jesus, it implies that we know Jesus. And automatically, if we know Jesus, we have something to be thankful for, no matter where we are. No matter if we're in a jail cell, no matter if we're in the midst of a pandemic, no matter if our life is about to slip away. If we can pray in his name, we have something to be thankful for. Why is it so important that we give thanks in his name? Let me list a few reasons for you. John 14:6 tells us this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. We're thankful because we have a way to the Father. If you're his today, you should be thankful and have a song in your heart. Something else, because we can come to the throne in his name. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us therefore come bold into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because he gives us what we ask for when we pray in his name. John 14:13, and whatsoever we shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Because there's power in his name. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Because his name is above every name. Philippians 2 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the sun, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A thankful church will always have in mind that God saved them. Always something to be thankful for. That he loved us enough to send his son. We'll sit here and thank God that we're not what we used to be. We learned in Ephesians 5:4, and that's not on the screen, that thanks takes the place of filthy talk. And as I challenged you before, which you think is better? I think it's being thankful. Now, a few weeks ago, I stopped right there, and I thought I was done with that verse. But I wanted to give you some examples of what the early church and what Paul was thankful for there. It might help us today. Paul was thankful for the churches. 1 Thessalonians 1:12 and or 1:2, this is just one example. He said this about almost every church. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. He was always thankful for the churches. Being a church planner, being a missionary, he knew the struggles. He knew what the early churches went through. Being young, developing leaders, getting everything in place, having the resources, pulling in a critical mass so they could do ministry. He was thankful for them. Guys, I'm praying for you. Then in 1 Timothy 1:12, he thanks God that he had the strength to serve. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Again, remember the situation he's writing from. When he writes this, he's close to being martyred. And he knows it. And he's saying, God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for giving me the strength to witness for you all over the world. If this is it, I'm ready to go home. Even with the shipwreck coming, Paul gave thanks in Acts 27. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and, notice the language, and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. Paul is not hiding in a corner. There's a shipload of sailors there. They're afraid. They've thrown all their gear overboard, trying to lighten the ship. They think all is lost. But Paul sits down in their presence and took bread and, thank you, Lord, for this bread. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now, think about that. Paul's not really all that scared here, is he, guys? He's thanked God for his bread and he's eating it. Notice this. Then were they all of good cheer. Think of the situation now. The storm is raging. The ships, they have no way to guide it anymore. It's broke off. They're at the mercy of the wind. And were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Paul stopped and gave presence to God, didn't he? Presence of all, what happened? It encouraged them all. That is still true today. That is why I think Dr. Lawless told us pastors, guys, just stop and be thankful. If not, you'll be overwhelmed. You'll drown in the pressure and flood of this pandemic. Be thankful. Be thankful. Third thing, a spirit-filled person will have a humble heart. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, or out of reverence for Christ, that could be worded that way. The ESV puts it this way, submitting to others according to the authority and order established by God. I like the phrase in the text, one to another. It means all of us. What a beautiful picture of unity. And remember months ago when we started this book, the reason we were doing it is because of unity. I felt like we ever need to hear unity constantly. It'd be in the midst of a divisive pandemic when people are all over the spectrum here and their thoughts and different things. But as a church, we got to stay united. Folks, it used to be self-seeking, self-serving. Now, because of the reverence of Christ, they're afraid of displeasing him and they're staying united. Paul's example in Philippians 2, it says this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, of one mind. That's what servant and humility looks like. That's what it looks like when you submit to one another. 1 Corinthians 9:22 takes humility. Paul said, I'll become whatever I need to save some. to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You don't get any more humble than that. When you put your preferences, your view aside, so you can minister to someone else. It takes humility. Three things. Melodious heart, thankful heart, and humble heart. You can leave here today or wherever you are, listen to this service with a song in your heart, giving thanks to God what he has done in your life, ready to humbly serve him. Now next week, we're going to look at the first example that Paul give us a submission, because the last verse we looked at, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And his first thought is, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I'll just stop right there. But it's just so good for us men. That'll be the example that we'll look at next week. This morning or this evening, though, got a question for you. Have you humbled yourself before Christ? If not, you can. And you, too, will have a song in your heart and be thankful that God, through his Son, has saved you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this text. And God, this simple. Three things that should we should be known for as Christians, as a church. We're happy, and they know it, because there's a song in our heart, song on our lips. We're always thankful, no matter the situation, that we had a God who loved us enough to send his Son to die on a cross, that we could have heaven and eternal life and sing our praises forevermore one day. But while we're here, we want to humbly serve one another. So, Father, I pray you help us do that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You might be here this morning. God has spoke to your heart. You might be listening out in the parking lot or on our Facebook Live, and God has spoke. Let me tell you again, we always want to hear from you. There'll be information at the end here where you can contact us. We want to pray with you, encourage you on your walk. Whether you're here in the service, we'll have a time of invitation. So Kitty's going to come lead us. If God has spoke to your heart this morning, we invite you to come.
Let's stand, and we're going to sing, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Love.
thank y'all again. Again, thank y'all for the music. I hope you see today what important part you play in our services. God bless you for your sacrifice and all that you do. Again, thank you so much, you that come out today. We know it's short notice, but appreciate you being here with us. It's more exciting to have somebody to preach to here in the sanctuary. And everybody stay safe tomorrow. The weather goes like there calls, be a lot of snow. And be safe tomorrow. Come help us shovel Monday. So if you're here today, please take a moment and fill that out. There's some pencils at the back. If you don't have a pencil with you today, just do that. And you that are here, and remember where you're setting out, I'll roll the card out. If you'll just kind of sanitize your area there, we'll know exactly. We won't have to waste a lot of time doing all the pews. So just remember that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day you blessed us with. We thank you for the technology now to be able to do these services. Before, we would just miss a Sunday and just start where we left off the Sunday before. But now we can still preach the word. We can worship. We can come together, if no other way, just by through Facebook Live. So, God, I pray that in the Sundays to come, you'll allow us to meet back together. Just, I can tell the energy that's here this morning, what it'll be like when the sanctuary fills up. So, again, Lord, I pray you be with us. Keep everybody safe. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you for being here.